Welcome to the Ag Future Podcast, presented by Alltech. Join us as we explore the future of farming, food, and nutrition.
I'm joined by Dr. Mark Lyons, the Global Vice President and Head of Greater China at Alltech. He received his master's degree in brewing and distilling and a PhD in the area of solid-state fermentation at Harriet Watt University, Edinburgh. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Tell me about the rising billion.
Yeah, so this is a topic that, interesting, I was given and actually found out about through an email. I've actually expanded a little bit. I think it's really the rising billions, because as we delved into this, we really started to see what is transpiring in the world and how, you know, from my perspective, living in China for the last 5 years, actually, we're only at the start of a major change. You know, we think about the transformation of China in the last 30 years, and actually what's taking place is that only 10% of the Chinese population has about $10,000 of disposable income in their pocket. By 2030, that will go to 35% of the population. That 25% increase is bigger than the American population. So if we think about that, and then we think about India, we think about many other developing nations, we think about the continent of Africa, and to a certain degree, we even think about the transformation through technology of our own population and millennial spending and the next generation coming after them. There's an absolute transformation in terms of the way our economy is going to work and the way our companies need to respond to that.
How do you define the rising billions in terms of that group of people?
So I think the interesting things that we noted by 2022, there will actually be more people in the middle class than if you described it as the poor class. So I think we're starting to see that there's a group of people who have money to spend, who are interested in different types of products. Their access to technology and the transparency that that brings is extraordinary. But some of the platforms they're using, and I think particularly in an area which is referred to as fintech, so financial technology, this is really something that is transforming these individuals. So these are people, when we think of the different populations that are there's an aspirational element, there's a yearning to have certain types of products. And so I think we need to market to these individuals probably in a different way than we traditionally do, and realize that that market is much, much bigger than our traditional market or our domestic market. And so this is going to take different types of thinking. It's going to take also different ways of transacting.
So how are we going to connect these people to the internet? What technologies are going to be used?
Yeah, so there's some really exciting projects. The Project Loon, which we'll talk about a little bit, which is essentially launching a bunch of mini satellites and ways for people to be connected. Just the emergence really of accessible smartphones. So people being able to get access to the internet. Some of the estimates are saying 2030 will have about 50% of the global population connected to the internet. I think that's probably conservative. I think this is all going to happen a lot faster. And some of the projects that people are looking at, you know, you'll virtually be able to access the internet anywhere in the world at low cost. There's also, you know, already in China, we're using social media to pay. So Alipay or a lot of other pay programs through WeChat, through social media. That's transforming things because people who don't even have a computer, you know, are accessing information, but they're also paying for products. And in Africa, we're already seeing that just through text messages, people paying for products. And that's been in place really for over 5 years.
How will the rising billions disrupt the global economy?
So I think I was chatting with somebody yesterday, and you know, you look at the 325 million Americans or somewhere around there, and the position of the number one economy globally. I think we have to accept the fact that there's countries that obviously have much bigger populations than us that are going to be, even if they're half as affluent, their economies are going to be bigger. And so obviously there's a lot of focus on China in that thought process, but all the ASEAN countries, India, again, Africa, you know, you're talking about populations that dwarf ours. So we really have to start to switch our mindset from being so focused on our domestic market to really starting to think like these more nimble, smaller countries that are really export focused. So if I look at, you know, we're originally from Ireland, everything is about export. Everything is about the global network and being connected. And I think as a country, America starts to need to reposition itself to perhaps being a leader in technology, perhaps being a leader in innovations, and that those are the types of things that we're going to lead the way in, not thinking our economy is so strong that that's going to dominate.
What should businesses be doing to prepare for the arrival of these additional billions of people coming online?
Yeah, I think it's really a way of seeing these as market opportunities and getting out there, visiting, educate yourself, educate your people, start to think globally, and perhaps not so, the closed mindset that we have. Unfortunately, I think politically globally right now, there's a lot of pullback. There's a lot of people pushing against globalization. But I think it's just something that's inevitable. And there's no way once that door opens and how connected people are, if we don't get involved in that, we're going to be sitting on the sidelines. So I think it's something that I suppose we as a very global company operating in 130 countries, we can't think any other way. But I think that's the thing I always encourage people. Get out there, see what these markets are like, find the ones that you think fit you and your business and your culture, and go there and make it happen.
What about on a local economy? And you're a global company, but what about for a business that's maybe more local? Do you see an effect on that from the billions coming online? Is there something they should be doing?
Yeah, I think that the other aspect of it is that you see some of these markets and you see similar challenges that they're going through that maybe we are. And I think there's often a lot that can be learned. It really is incredible to see in China people going up in Starbucks and no money, you know, got 10 people in line and no money changing hands. Isn't that amazing? And China's probably going to be the first cashless society, and also the largest country in the world. So are there things like that that maybe we could bring back here and we could innovate? Are there new technologies? Are there new ways that we could do things? And I think that's probably one of the parts that we find most interesting traveling around the world, is you see something in some place and you see applications for it in another. But I think also the local part is going to be critical, because people are searching for, Europeans call it provenance. We call it maybe origin or traceability. People are wanting authentic products. They're wanting local products. So all of that is very, very important. Yesterday we had our beer festival, 5,000 people came through, more than 5,000 people. And what were they looking for? They were looking for beers that were local. They were looking for products that were local. And that's the real draw. And so, you know, that story behind our products and that traceability is something that local companies will have an advantage over global big brands. And that's something that they need to exploit.
You addressed the fact that in China, they're exchanging currencies cashless. In what ways are the rising billions coming online that's different than the Western world? For instance, you talk about cashless. What other things do you see differences?
Yeah, I think that there's this whole discussion around leapfrogging and the fact that they're not having to go through all the steps. So, I mean, so many countries have just, you know, foregone having phone lines and, all these networks that are very expensive and expensive to maintain. And so they're skipping a lot of those infrastructure steps because they're just being able to go straight to cellular. So I think that we see that leapfrogging obviously being a big aspect that brings a certain expectation of speed and expectation of change. And so I think that's probably the biggest difference, is that they're so much more open to change and anticipating change, whereas we're often pushing back against change and wanting to have things stay the same. And so that's something that concerns me, because I think that if you're anticipating change, then you're much more innovative, you're much more likely to come up with new ideas. And that's something that I think we need to be aware of. That change is a good thing, change is something we should want, and we should be driving that forward.
Are there potential negative consequences to the rising billions coming online?
I think that certainly geopolitically, shifts in power, shifts in economy, and all of that are going to be things that will cause ruptures. They'll cause confusion. I think there's a big feeling in this country of people feeling like, you know, America's number one, and wait a minute, what if we're number two? And I think it's kind of accepting that that's not necessarily, I mean, number one in what? And what is it that we're really after here? And so I think repositioning America as a leader is really important. But I think that the issue in terms of, you know, are there negatives? I think that's going to be all down to how we handle the situation. There's incredible positives. You know, I mean, the number of people that are going to be lifted out of poverty, and poverty being something that is something of the past, is very much an idea that we can be thinking about and realize is going to happen. So that's a tremendous positive. That can't be a negative.
How will the rise in billions affect the average consumer?
I think that we're going to see obviously a total transformation in terms of the number of people in this middle class. We're talking about in Asia today, about 500 million people would be considered in the middle class. By 2030, we're talking about 3.2 billion. So, you know, for the average consumer, I think that just transforms everything, that we're going to live in a world that's totally different, that is the communication we're going to have with these individuals around the world is going to be extraordinary. And so I think for the average consumer, and we're definitely going to see in the next generations coming through, they're going to just grow up with a totally different mindset. And so I think that's the exciting part for us, but also maybe one of the challenges.
Amazon is always referenced for having taken advantage of the long tail effect. Do you see the rising billions as a similar effect to the long tail? Maybe not as high an income, but because of the quantity that are coming online, there's not an opportunity there for disruption and for profitability and companies that take advantage of it.
Absolutely. And I think we've seen this now with, you know, companies that are operating in these very large markets. The population is so big that you can come up with something, make not that much money on it. And you've got such a scale that once you start to get out of your own home country, you know, your competitiveness is just off the charts. So certainly we're seeing that in China. I think we're already seeing that in India with some of the domestic companies. Once they start to step out of their own markets, you know, they can really take a dominant position. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on. And, you know, already we're facing a situation that seems like we don't have that many companies that are really dominating the space. And that may even become fewer when we look at it globally. So I think that's something that many companies are seeing as a big opportunity. And then on the other side, I think back to the local idea, how do we come up with ways that we can play in those niche spaces that could be much more profitable? So I think that in certain regards, though, there are going to be those dominant players, but sometimes those spaces are not that profitable. And we've seen in many cases that certain niche areas that are very specialized, you can be making far less revenue and similar profits.
What other facts about the rising billions do you find surprising or intriguing, or that you're seeing that the average person out there in America or in the Western world may not realize?
I think the big message really is that these individuals have, you know, the same types of desires and interests, and are really wanting experiences and products that are probably not that dissimilar than what we would want, and that they have, I think their spending patterns are quite different than ours. And so we see that the types of things they're spending money on, I'm amazed in China. Beijing is such an expensive city. And I look at the salaries that my colleagues make and the salaries that friends make, and you're thinking, how are people living on this? And you realize it's because they're not buying a lot of the types of things we're buying. They don't have 2, 3, 4 cars. They don't have a television in every room. They don't have, they think of debt in a very different way. And so there's a whole, I think, array of maybe surprising things about these individuals and their spending patterns. But I think it's something that there's opportunities within that. And in the end of the day, I think the aspect of our similarities is much greater than people anticipate. In the end of the day, pretty much people are around, you know, about the same types of things, their family, you know, certain interests, feeling important, feeling recognized. Those things are fairly universal.
Dr. Mark Lyons is the Global Vice President and Head of Greater China at Alltech. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
To hear other conversations with many of the featured speakers at One, the Alltech Ideas Conference, visit ideas.alltech.com. Access is free after signing up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ag Future Podcast, presented by Alltech. For show notes and more episodes, visit alltech.com/agfuture.